The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
It is 7:43. I'm just wondering if Lot's wife took it with a pinch of salt, or she was the pinch of salt. Rolien Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Points to ponder.
Yes.
Points to ponder. Or was she just a salty person? I don't know.
I think she most definitely was. Yep, never look back. That's what the lesson is. Never look back. Rolien Marks, so much we want to talk to you about what's going on all around Israel and around, of course, the world as Israel is impacted. I actually want to begin by talking about the South African issue, which is the Israeli ambassador arriving in South Africa and his credentials being presented, as is protocol, to the president. And then also all of a sudden it was this brouhaha. So first of all, who is our new Israeli ambassador?
The new ambassador is a wonderful man. He is His Excellency Ambassador Liev Bert-Sikovsky, who I've had the privilege to chat to once or twice, and he's a lovely, lovely, lovely man. I'm sure will do great things between our two countries and will represent Israel with his extraordinary dignity. And as you said, he presented his credentials to President Ramaphosa the other day, as ambassadors do, was greeted very, very friendly by the president. And of course, there was the ubiquitous Twitter pylon. You had two camps, some saying, how dare South Africa? What about the Palestinians? And others saying, well, if you're going to be so friendly to the Israeli ambassador, isn't it time that you apologize to Miss South Africa for making basically her life very, very uncomfortable with your lack of support? So, you know, it's interesting because Durko then came out with a tweet saying, you know, they are very firmly, strongly supportive of a Palestinian national liberation, et cetera, but they support a two-state solution. Now, my take on this, and maybe people disagree or agree, is if you're going to take a firm stand in support of the two-state solution, you have to allow for those two parties that are involved in these two proposed states to have equal playing ground in South Africa. If South Africa wants to take its unique ability to engage in conflict resolution, you have to engage both sides.
Rolien, I'm just going to stop you there for a minute. There's some interference on your side. There's just a strange noise coming through, so I'm not sure if there is something happening with interference on your side. If you can have a look at that. But just getting back to the point, so the issue around, obviously, engagement. The reality is that South Africa has diplomatic relations with Israel. So I'm really not sure why this should even have been a discussion or an issue at all.
Well, that's very important to remember. South Africa does have diplomatic relations with Israel, albeit downgrading the South African embassy here in Israel to a liaison office. But we all know, we see it now with African countries, Israel is perfectly poised to help South Africa. What we also find baffling is that no sooner had the ambassador presented his credentials than debate about Israel's observer status at the African Union came up for discussion. And we know that South Africa's foreign policy for 2022 is to end Israel's observer status. And I just want to be clear, observer status basically means that you get a chair at the table. Now, the Palestinians have observer status, Greece has observer status, China has observer status. So why not Israel? And of course, that smacks of utter hypocrisy and double standards. And it also must be remembered that observer status doesn't mean that you have voting rights or that you have the ability to put forward proposals for resolutions. It just means that you have a seat at the table. So I'm getting these very conflicting messages from the South African government that on the one hand, you support a two-state solution, but on the other hand, you want to ensure that one party, as part of the two states is excluded from discourse, and it's really unnerving.
Mm. A very important question from Leslie. She says, Rolene, do you know if the new ambassador will still have all those hot bodyguards?
Well, I can assure you that wherever we have our dignitaries and wherever Israel has a presence, there are always hot bodyguards.
Well, there we go. So, you know, obviously listeners taking it to, you know, getting down to the essence of and what is important about it.
Howard, you were there when we announced the new head of Mossad, and when we announced who the ambassadors from the UAE and Bahrain were. The amount of letters I got from women saying, you know, do they need a cheesecake, a casserole?
You know, we can be as political as we want and as controversial as we want, but at the end of the day, everybody's just human. UN Secretary General and Holocaust Memorial Day. Let's talk about this. Of course, yesterday was International Holocaust Remembrance Day, and this was addressed at the United Nations and around the world.
Well, extraordinary events around the world, and for me, the most moving was to see our chairman of the Knesset, Mickey Levy, addressing the German Bundestag, a massive honor for any dignitary, but of course, extremely poignant because yesterday was International Holocaust Memorial Day. Different to Yom HaShoah, which is very, very important to note, and he intoned Kaddish at the end of his speech, and he started to cry, and I tell you, that wrenched my heart. But we also had ceremonies in Austria attended by our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, who addressed his late grandfather, who was imprisoned in Sachsenhausen. Bahrain hosting their International Memorial Day commemorations with our president and also Rabbi Meir Lau, one of the most famous Holocaust survivors. But very, very touching for me to see this morning on Twitter the Awazi people from Iran sharing, albeit with covering over their heads so that they are incognito, their commemoration of the Holocaust. So we've seen everything from Prince Charles at Buckingham Palace to President Biden meeting with Holocaust survivors and also alluding to anti-Semitism. And the night before International Holocaust Memorial Day, the UN Secretary General speaking at Park East's synagogue in New York spoke about his concerns about the rising anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial and Holocaust distortion. But one of the priorities for Israel's mission to the United Nations is to get the UN to try and adopt the IRA definition of anti-Semitism. Now, what is very, very interesting is that when he was making his address yesterday, the UN Secretary General Guterres says, you know, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews, which is quoting directly from IRA, Jewish individuals, their property, community institutions, etc., etc. However, he didn't mention, which is a very, very critical point in the IRA definition, is that you can criticize Israeli policy, but you cannot go as far as we've seen BDS and others go to say that Israel has no right to exist as the nation state for Jews. So he was very, very careful not to address the issue of some of the way that people criticize Israel, labeling Israel an apartheid state, a Nazi state, etc., which of course is very controversial for us because we know that on the one hand, the UN talks about fighting anti-Semitism, but on the other hand, it has this absolute pathological obsession with Israel, the nation state of the Jewish people.
Mm. And again, it's just back to that issue around the South African government and mixed messages, is that that there's just no, because it's so difficult really to be so anti-Israel and to detest the concept and notion of a Jewish homeland, whilst at the same time talk through the other part of your mouth about the horrors of anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. It's a very, very difficult balance to actually achieve in reality, which is why all of these things come across so strangely, where you have the United Nations almost with this metaphoric Chinese wall between these, the type of behavior, and then they just don't connect the two. And they say, well, you know, it doesn't really make sense. Why is anti-Semitism such a problem? Well, look inward, United Nations. You're part of the problem.
Of course, and you know, we can say things like shmum and be dismissive of the United Nations, but make no mistake, when it comes to Israel's detractors, the first place they're going to run to say, well, look, the United Nations says so.
Absolutely.
This organization says so.
I see this all the time.
Human Rights Watch says so. So, you know, it must be the case without taking a deeper look. And really, I know that we're 28 days into 2022. And if you like me, you don't make New Year's resolutions. But I really think that, you know, when we move forward, maybe we all need to make a resolution to employ critical thinking when it comes to how we consume information. Don't just take it at face value. Actually do a deeper dive, a deeper read. You know, nobody is saying, and President Ramaphosa, if you're listening, because you know how he could listen to us
on Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. Nobody is saying the Palestinians don't have a right to nationhood. It's the how that is being debated. But you can't support people who say that the Jewish people have no right to a national liberation movement, which we call Zionism, or to a state of our own.
Mm-hmm. And that's of course the difficulty, because how do you ever have that conversation if one party doesn't want you to exist? And the way in which it's been portrayed is that it's the other way around, that that Jews and Israel doesn't have an interest in allowing a Palestinian state. The reality is that it's very, very much the other way around.
Absolutely.
Let's just talk about Bennett and the threats from Bibi.
Well, this is extraordinary. You know, we've heard from the Prime Minister for the first time addressing his first 7 months in power or in office rather. And it's actually quite extraordinary. Who does he give this interview to? He gives it to Haaretz.
What?
No.
That's bizarre.
No. Well, you know, the most fascinating thing has been to watch Naftali Bennett, the head of the Yemina HaChadasha right-wing party, move into becoming the Prime Minister of Israel. And you really see the dichotomy or the break between being the leader of a country and being the leader of a party. So he was speaking to Haaretz Daily. He says, you know, he's had some extraordinary challenges, the handling of COVID. And he says, you know, one thing that really has been an issue is the way that opposition leader Benjamin Netanyahu has attacked me with regards to COVID. And if you're following Netanyahu on social media, he has almost a daily go at the Prime Minister for his handling. And for the first time, we've heard the Prime Minister actually swing back. He says, you know, he received a threat from Netanyahu, and I'm going to read you the threat. He says, you should know that I'll send my whole machinery against you, the army. I'll send the UAVs after you, and we'll see. And he says that Netanyahu is alleged to have made a dive bomber motion with his arm. So the Haaretz interview says, I assume Netanyahu didn't mean the IDF or the Air Force. He says, no, he was talking about his army of bots, the social media groups, his people on the radio, TV, and online. Now, of course, we're always talking about the pylon when it comes to various issues around Israel, the pylon around J.K. Rowling, amongst various high-profile figures. But the Prime Minister says that, you know, he accuses Netanyahu of spreading chaos, hysteria, and a lack of faith in the current government. And he says he has built one of the most effective propaganda machines ever. It invents stories at an insane pace. You know, yesterday I found out my mom is Catholic.
That is very, very funny. But what is incredible is you talk about this right-wing Bennett, but he really is just, I think, doing remarkable things.
Well, he is, and you know, of course, we can always have criticisms about all governments. And in fact, I don't think there's a government that it can be singled out for handling the pandemic absolutely perfectly, because it is unprecedented in our lifetime. Yeah, yeah. In fact, it is unprecedented because the last pandemic that happened in the world didn't have to contend with social media and Facebook medical school and Facebook virology school and Facebook epidemiological university. But Israel's standing in the world has certainly changed over the last 7 months. One such example is Turkey. Turkey, where we saw very strained relationships, and now we have Erdogan not only hiring a Jewish doctor, I mean, he knows the good medical professionals. Is it you, Dr. Marburg? But he is also absolutely preening about the fact that President Herzog is coming over for a visit, and he's saying, you know, this is going to herald a new dawn of relations between our two countries.
Absolutely incredible. It's just a remarkable turn of events. If we look back and we look at the fact that Bennett is the Prime Minister and how well it is going on the most part, when we look at what is happening between Israel and her neighbors in terms of diplomacy and relationships, it is really absolutely wonderful. It is 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Keep warm. Make sure to get to Jerusalem to build a snow person, because that's what we call them around here, because that's how woke we are. And we'll catch you next week. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.